What's up, Gene Friedman?
I'm good, Alex. How are you?
Good. Today, Gene, we are talking about S corporations. And specifically, we're talking about limited liability companies, or LLCs, who classify themselves as an S corp. So there's different things that such companies have to do that's different from what LLCs who are not classifying themselves as S corps have to do. And before we get into what those differences are, talk for a minute about why a company would want to be classified as an S corp versus any other entity.
Sure. So LLC structure in general, it's very appealing for owners of small, of closely held businesses because of the flexibility it offers and the very favorable protections it offers from creditors. That's why a lot of small business owners want to form LLCs as far as a legal entity is concerned. Now, tax classification is a separate matter. While an LLC is by default a partnership, there's certainly a trend now. There's a lot more LLC owners who are now making an election to be classified as a small business corporation for tax purposes, or known as S-Corp.
So now someone has been advised to classify themselves as an S-corporation. What do they have to know, Gene, about how they should operate?
You know, there's certainly a lot of things. We won't be able to discuss everything that they should know in this short period of time that we have to discuss this today. But I do want to focus on three main things. And the first of that being, the operating agreement and the considerations for that. Second being documenting shareholder loans. And the third thing being the owner's salaries.
So operating agreement, let's start there. And what is an operating agreement?
So an operating agreement, it's a contract. It's a contract between the owners of the company and the company, in its most simplest terms. And the IRS will typically use that to hold the LLC and its members accountable.
And does the operating agreement say that how it should be, the company should be classified?
So the majority of LLC operating agreements are drafted with partnership tax provisions. Those provisions are not permitted in entity if an entity is to be classified as an S corporation. One common pitfall is violating the one class of stock rule. There are several requirements to be deemed an S corp, and one of those being the one class of stock.
And just as an aside, the other two are owners have to be
non-resident aliens. You can't have non-resident aliens be right. Owners of an LLC. You can't have an LLC with more than 100 shareholders. They're really members of an LLC, but when right. We talk about an S-corp, it's really shareholders. And you cannot have corporate entities own interest in an LLC unless you qualify as a, and it is specific, it's called Q sub.
Right. And you can't have more than one class of stock right. or membership interests.
Just in terms of speaking of the operating agreement, you just have to be very careful of how those provisions are written in there. Obviously, you would have different tax returns you're filing and different elections you're taking with the IRS. But the suggestion that I have is, it's probably tempting for business owners to go ahead and just reuse an operating agreement from another LLC that they own. Mm-hmm. My advice is to talk to a business attorney and before adopting any LLC operating agreement for the S corporation to see what specific restrictions they should have in there, for example. One thing that I like to put in my agreement would be, this is pretty common, is you're going to have restrictions on transfer. You would have that in any operating agreement. But with respect to an S corp company, you would want to have restrictions that would destroy the S corp election status.
Yeah, you want to make sure that those are not, that kind of language is not there.
That would be those restrictions would void transfers would void right. Would be void if they would work to destroy that S corp status.
Right, right. What's another difference between operating an S corp and any other entity?
Another difference is you got to be very careful and pay close attention to shareholder loans. And this goes back to the one class of stock rule. So you want to be careful not to basically properly document and follow in the terms of any loans that are made between the shareholder and the company, because loans can be viewed as disguised distributions and cause the termination of the S-corp status.
So in other words, if a shareholder has to be repaid first, then before distributions go out, then the IRS can say, hey, you're really just giving yourself preferred distribution treatment.
Exactly. The IRS can say, well, how do you substantiate this being a loan and not just a preference that you're taking, that you're paying yourself back, that are from the profits of the company?
So what's the suggestion to minimize the risk there?
So there's several suggested steps to take. First, make sure that the loan is in writing, and the loan should be drafted contemporaneously with when the loan is actually made, preferably by an attorney. The second suggestion is make sure that the loan has economic substance. You want to have adequate interest. You know, just like somebody would go to take a loan from a third party, they'd probably be asking for some kind of an interest on the principal. So you should have a reasonable interest rate within that loan. The third suggestion is if an LLC has other bank loans, or basically loans with institutional lenders, make sure that the shareholder loan does not violate any of the covenants in these other loans. At the very least, you would want to notify the lender and get their consent.
And that's true regardless of it, whether it's an S corp or not. That's just a good practice.
That's a good practice, exactly.
Banks don't like shareholders taking money out before paying them back.
Yes.
As a general proposition, whether it's through a loan or otherwise, but especially if it's a personal loan from the company.
Agreed. And then most importantly is follow and adhere to the terms of the loan. So if the loan is going to say that there's going to be repayments made on certain dates with certain interest, that's what you would want to follow. And if you don't want to risk the IRS taking a position that this is not a bona fide loan. It goes in the same basket with setting up a separate bank account for the company and using the company card to pay business expenses as opposed to personal expenses. And absolutely the same respect, you know, using the company funds as a personal piggy bank and not having true loans.
All right. Gene, what else you got?
Well, the last thing we're going to talk about today is making sure to pay the shareholder employees a reasonable salary.
And this is all still part of the S-corp distinction.
So here's the key distinction between a typical LLC, I mean, which is by default a partnership, and an S-corp LLC. So instead of guaranteed payments that LLC members usually receive in a partnership LLC, shareholder employees have to pay themselves a salary. And then separately, if there's profits, if there's net profits left over in the business, they also take distributions of those net profits. The IRS can come in and reclassify profit distributions as salary and assess tax penalties and interest. And the reason for this is, we actually touched very briefly on that in the beginning, but the S-corp profit distributions are not subject to certain self-employment taxes. I believe they're called FICA taxes, so there's which are really Social Security and Medicare, and the tax authorities do not, you know, they want to prevent abuse of the tax laws. And the key thing to note here is that shareholder salaries should not be arbitrary. You want to be able to consider certain factors to establish what that reasonable salary should be, and that could be the services performed and the job description of the shareholder employee, and as well as how profitable the company will be. My suggestion is still to talk to consult with a tax advisor prior to setting the salaries, because lower shareholder salary may be reasonable.
Good stuff. Anything else, Gene?
That's all I have for today.
Good stuff. So, folks, if you go to GertzbergLaw.com and click on professionals and go to Gene Friedman, you'll see his handsome face smiling back at you, and you'll
get to read all about it. And you'll also be able to listen to his last 10-minute legal talk when we talked about real estate leases. There's also lots of good articles there. And if you are a Russian-speaking person, so is Gene, and he actually has his own Russian language page. So, Gene, thank you very much. And folks, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Alex.